I was there this weekend. Fratelloni's Ace Hardware Store.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
Okay, let's try to break this down again. Much of our culture is being power washed. Much around Christmas time is getting power washed. Rudolph, for example, right? Because people miss the point.
Right.
Because power washers are not critical thinkers. A Cleveland radio station has stopped playing Baby It's Cold Outside this holiday season after it says listeners voice concerns about the song's predatory undertones amid the Me Too movement. I would contest the use of the word predatory. WDOK Christmas 102.1 pulled the song from its around-the-clock rotation of Christmas music this week after receiving a call from a listener who suggested it is inappropriate in 2018. The call and response song written in the 1940s includes a woman singing that she has to leave a man's house as he tries to lure her to stay. In the song, the female sings, "I really can't stay," to which the man responds, "But baby, it's cold outside."
Mm-hmm.
Other lyrics include the woman saying, singing, "Say, what's in this drink? And I simply must go. The answer is no." It wasn't really our decision. It's the decision of our listeners, WDOK midday host Desiree told WJW, noting that the Christmas lineup is decided by the station's listeners. Well, whoever Desiree is was not intelligent enough to push back. The station said it posted a poll about the song on its website, and a clear majority of respondents supported the decision to remove the song. Poll results were not visible on the station's website. However, a poll on the station's Facebook page showed that among the more than 600 votes by last Thursday night, 92% of respondents favored playing the song, while just 8% felt it was inappropriate. People might say, "Oh, that's enough with that Me Too," but if you really put that aside and listen to the lyrics, it's not something I would want my daughter to be in that kind of a situation, Desiree said. The tune might be catchy, but let's maybe not promote that idea.
Desiree, who would name her child A, B, C, D, E.
Cleveland Rape Crisis Center president and CEO Sandra Miller said the organization supports the decision. "I think it's taking a 2018 lens on a song that was written a long time ago," she said, adding that the move reflects evolving values. It's over for this country. Yeah, when we have people in positions of this kind of power who are this stupid. Societal norms were different when the song was written. An unmarried woman staying in a man's house was scandalous. In the song, the woman expresses concern about what others may think of her spending the night as the man tries to convince her to stay. While some might view the song and its lyrics as a playful, coy back and forth from another time, well, that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Miller said it may have a different meaning to a rape survivor.
I think a rape survivor would see many things in this world different, unfortunately, most unfortunately.
Who wrote it, John?
That I don't know.
Well, you can find out.
I will, yes.
It really pushes the line of consent, Miller said. The character in the song is saying no, and they're saying, well, does no really mean yes? And I think in 2018, what we know is consent is yes, and if you get a no, it means no. Miller said the song is an example of the rape culture in which we live and the first step to...
God. Frank Lesser wrote it.
Yeah. "I really can't stay, but baby, it's cold now." Okay. I seem to recall that we had two young musicians in the Twin Cities who rewrote it.
Yes.
Because they thought it was suggestive of date rape. That the male in the song... spiked her drink with something. No, here's what you need to push back. She doesn't suspect him. Here's my suspicion.
What do you got?
The female songstress. It's a duet, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm. a yeah.
call and response.
Yeah, the female does not at all suspect that he's put anything in her drink. That's what's called an idiom. But these people are too stupid to know what an idiom is. An idiom is an expression whose meaning is not predictable from the usual meanings of its constituent elements. In other words, it's raining cats and dogs. It's an idiom. No, it's not really raining cats and
right.
dogs. I'm under the weather. Well, there's no such thing as being under the weather. That's an idiom. Hey, what did you put in that drink? If it's not an idiom, it's talk. It's banter. She's falling for this guy.
Right. Not what date rape drug did you put in there, but what do you got? A Manhattan in here? I'm looking at the lyrics right now.
Yeah. It's just a shame. What we're dealing with in many cases, I can link this to the St. Paul City Council people finding these very famous murals in the City Hall now problematic. Because you know why? Because they're stupid. Let's cut to the chase.
Hey, dummy.
Let's just cut to the chase. They're dummies.
Dummy. What's up, dummy?
They haven't done their homework. They're dummies. Okay, I was talking to my sources over the weekend. I have sources.
Oh, yeah. You do?
Wow. And one of my sources had a great point. Go look up the Billboard Top 100, which I have done.
Okay.
And Ariana Grande apparently is number one, followed by somebody named Sicko Mode. Well, and I'm not...
What's up, Sicko? What's up, bro?
Juice WRLD.
Yeah, where the juice at?
Shaq West.
Yeah, Shaq West.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lil Baby and Guna.
Small one.
Okay,
little.
Fine. That's
little
all fine. That's
small
all fine.
Small one.
But I, and it was his suggestion to read those lyrics. Well, and I can't read them on the air. They're misogynistic. They're riddled with crime and profanity.
And the same people complaining about this song have all of those downloaded on their iPhone.
So why are these songs okay?
Exactly.
Why are these okay? When a very innocent song, when was it written, John, the 40s?
40s, yep.
Yeah. Why is that not okay? And who's going to push back against this utter B as in B, S as in S?
You got yourself a topic of conversation there, sir.
Well, this is power washing. There's nothing wrong with this song, but they've ruined it now. The power washers have ruined it.
Just like they dragged their Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer into it.
Do you all understand what is meant by an idiom?
Yeah, you call me and rookie that every day.
Yeah. Idiom number three.
An expression whose meaning is not predictable from the usual meanings of its constituent elements, as kick the bucket or hang one's head, or from the general grammatical rules of a language, as the table round for the round table, and that is not a constituent of a larger expression like characteristics. Hey, what did you put in that drink? Does not mean she suspected him of putting anything in the drink. It sounds to me like what she's doing is stalling for time. She's falling for this guy.
Right.
She's swooning. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like him. It's more playful.
But that's what you thought naturally. Now it's been power washed. It's been ruined by the darkness of the Mysterians, the darkness of the hashtag MeToo movement. It's been ruined by darkness. There are people intent on covering us in darkness to the point where they will take apart Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Completely missing the point, as an earlier email said. City council people completely missing the point of the famous murals. The painter's name escapes me.
The Art Deco guy.
Look it up, John. Muralist, is it Wharton? John, who painted murals in St. Paul City Council chambers? It shouldn't take any one of you long to find that answer. Is it John Wharton, I believe? Famous muralist. These were among his last pieces, too, because he died in 1934, and these went up in 1932. Anybody?
I'm looking.
We're looking.
I got the story. I haven't found the artist
Diego.
Yet.
He was a disciple of Diego Rivera, who was a Mexican muralist.
John Norton.
Thank you. John Norton. And he was from Chicago.
Yes.
And he was extremely well-known, well thought of. It was an honor to have him enter your public building and do these murals. And he was a disciple of Diego Rivera, who was a Marxist atheist. You would think that would be right up the alley of these progressive
right.
Mysterians. And it was never his, if you'll read, if you guys, just to amuse yourself, if you want to read deeper into Norton, this was done as honor. He was celebrating labor and advancement, progress. He was celebrating concrete, the river, rail travel.
Industry.
And it had nothing to do. And so you have these modern fools now who, let's just quit playing around with language. We have elected these stupid people. They're just stupid. They don't have any way of critically thinking about anything. They're just stupid. And they're unable to discern that the guy painted what he saw.
Right.
It's too bad. That's just the way it was.
Well, and it's a snap judgment. And without having a conversation and going into it deeper, like you were mentioning, it's all a world of now of snap judgments. Mm-hmm. And we have to fix this immediately. Well, hold on a second.
But getting back to the Billboard Hot 100, I would venture to say that of the top 100, you'd find 25 to 30 songs with lyrics so profoundly debased that you would not want those songs played in your house. From the use of the major words of profanity to misogyny to rape.
Disrespect. Real disrespect.
To prostitution, which is usually referred to in rap music as hoe. The whole, mm-hmm. and but that's okay, I guess. But a station in Cleveland with a stupid person at the helm, just stupid.
I wonder how she spells Desiree.
I got it. Oh. Yeah, she's saying you can't play that because it's then whoever wrote this WGN TV story, they went to the rape center in Cleveland.
Oh God,
as though there's some legitimacy. Yeah. In connecting a playful song about a stormy, wintry night to rape. And I find that, I would think that a victim of rape would be embarrassed by that.
But what would a rape place, or you're trying to recover, what are they going to say? Of course they're going to say.
Yeah, they're in the business to say that.
They have to say it. They're required to say that.
Desiree, Desiray.
Ooh, no.
Guess how she got on the radio.
Huh.
It was a contest where a morning show was searching for a co-host, and they were on the hunt to add a talented Clevelander. Mm-hmm. She won the contest. Mm-hmm. That's how she
Where the hell did they get that idea?
I wonder what they play when they're not doing the 24.
They are a soft rock station.
They probably are AC. Not playing profane rap.
No,
then.
They're playing, you know, James Taylor and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Adult contemporary.
Yeah, all right. We don't own them, do we? I'll quickly backtrack.
Yeah, right. Hang on a second. Let me trust but verify. Hang tight.
I'm reading the lyrics to an Ariana Grande song called Thank You Next, which is a hot song right now.
Yep.
Let's go.
Not only are there sexual innuendos left and right, these are some of the dumbest song lyrics I have ever read in my entire life.
This is the Billboard Hot 100.
And this is the number
one
song.
These songs are okay. These songs are okay. But you find something in our culture that is rich in tradition, it's going to be attacked. The mystery does not want us around with our traditional values, customs, and traditions. They want it gone. They are mean-spirited, stupid people. And you got to push back. And the way you push back, if you ever find yourself cornered in a room with some stupid person who tells you that Baby It's Cold Outside is a story of rape, of potential rape, you push back and say, do you really understand words? You understand what an idiom is? Do you understand the playful nature of this? Can't happen anymore. The song's been ruined. Who can now hear it? Without hearing the power washing.
I can't. That's all I can think about now. When I, because I have heard it a couple times, and I remember that from last year. Even though before the radio station here did this thing, and after the story last year, that's all I could think about.
Was it last year the youngsters rewrote it, or 2 years ago?
Was it 2 years ago?
I think it's getting to be 2 years.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, we're getting old, people.
Well,
time flies when you're getting older, doesn't it?
It's an idiom. An expression whose meaning is not predictable from the usual meanings of its elements. She is not suspecting that the guy spiked her drink. It's banter. It's jargon. It's stalling for time.
Yes, I can picture it in my mind's eye, what they're wearing.
What'd you put in that drink,
yes.
man? Woo. because she's falling for the guy. And you can just see, I used to love the song. I could picture the wind howling, the snow falling outside. Plus, she leaves, doesn't she? Doesn't she ultimately succeed in leaving?
I really can't see.
I don't think she wants to leave, but she does out of propriety. I hope these didn't print in Hmong. I really can't stay, but baby, it's cold outside. I simply must go. The answer is no, but baby, it's cold outside. You're welcome has been. How lucky that you dropped in. So nice and warm. Look out the window. My sister will be suspicious. Gosh, your lips look delicious. My brother will be there at the door.
Whoa, that's weird.
Yeah, my maiden aunts might. What the hell am I reading? What in the hell?
Right, what version are you reading?
What is this?
Yeah, tell your brother he's kind of. Can you tell your brother to keep going? He's kind of creeping me out here behind the curtains.
God, never mind.
Is that the Ariana Grande
I
version?
I don't know what I had there. That might have been Marshmallow and Bee.
He does press a little bit at the end when, if you caught pneumonia and died, he tries to.
Does he say that in the song?
Yeah, he
that's
does.
A hard sell.
Right,
but
yeah.
Does she answer me? Somebody help me. Answer me.
I really can't stay.
Does she ultimately leave?
No, they sing together, so my guess is she stays.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think it's ever really resolved, right? They just, at the end, it's,
right.
Baby, it's cold outside.
What about brother Larry? Does he just stick around?
Larry just stayed behind the curtains,
Larry's waiting at
he
home.
He thought it through for a while.
Larry's at home.
He's been
moron.
Home. He's waiting. Been replaying that through his mind over and over and over like a bad Christmas carol.
See, now you guys are making it creepy because Larry's at home waiting.
Larry, she
for
left
his
half
sister.
An hour ago. You want to get the hell out of here?
Time to call a cab,
yeah,
Larry.
I'm going to get you an Uber, Larry.
All right. You ain't heard nothing yet. We'll be right back with more power washing.
2,440,000 injured and 35,092 dead. Those are the National Safety Council injury facts from our nation's highways in 2015. Are you letting your emotions get the best of you? This isn't a Formula One race out here, people. Federated Insurance reminds us that these are much more than statistics. These are your family members, friends, and neighbors. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. You get anxious when you're driving? Not really any need to. Do you yell or honk at other drivers that make you angry? That's emotions taking over. Don't let your emotions take control. Do you try to retaliate to even the score for another driver's actions? That'll never serve you any good. Stop it. The National Safety Council reports that aggressive driving plays a role in 56% of fatal crashes, and emotions cause the aggressive driving. Don't become a statistic. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours. Make it home safe tonight.
Justice and the Sujere.
Oh, God help me. I don't. You know, I had a talk with a guy over the weekend talking about things like maybe it's cold outside having been power washed and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer having been power washed. And he was saying maybe the reaction we should have is to never mention these stories. Except. That would put a big dent in the show.
Right. That argument doesn't work, though, because
you couldn't get everybody to get on board.
Right. And people need to know that there are these places out, these outfits out there that are doing this type of thing. And it means nothing. It really does mean nothing.
Let's go to the failed academy, because you're not going to believe this one.
Oh. I don't know. You know, but go ahead.
Swansea University researcher Sharina Hamza claims that if veganism forces us to confront the realities of food's origins, then this increased awareness will undoubtedly be reflected in our language. The increased awareness of vegan issues will filter through consciousness to produce new modes of expression, and old expressions will be banned. Before animal rights charity PETA has already been pushing for harm-free alternatives for some time and has a list of suggestions that people could use so not to cause offense to vegans.
Yep.
Dr. Hamza wrote on an academic website called The Conversation, the image of killing two birds with one stone is, if anything, made more powerful by the animal-friendly alternative of feeding two birds with one scone. Well, you can no longer say, bring home the bacon.
Nope.
You have to say, bring home the bagels. You can't say, let the cat out of the bag.
Why?
Oh, you have to say, spill the beans instead.
Oh, spill the beans.
No, but that's wasteful.
All your eggs in one basket. No, you have to say, all your berries in one bowl.
You worked at the hatchery.
Put the eggs in a basket, but the earth was uneven. What are we telling people? That's the great...
That's the Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald joke. Yeah. Oh, my God. The funniest joke I've ever heard in my life.
Was he on a Stern?
Yeah. What
was he?
Yeah. It's not even that funny. It's just Norm MacDonald delivering a joke about people that, that work at a hatchery and end up spilling their eggs. And the final guy commits Uncle mayhem. Terry. And the moral of his story is you just don't fool around with Uncle Terry when he's been drinking.
He hated the hatchery.
You can't say open a can of worms.
Okay.
Because apparently that's harmful to worms. So you have to say open Pandora's box. Flog a dead horse.
Pandora doesn't mind.
No, you have to say feed a fed horse. Hmm. Hold your horses means you have to say hold the phone. Taking the bull by the horns. No, you should say take the flower by the thorns. More than one way to skin a cat. No, you have to say more than one way to peel a potato.
Okay.
Be the guinea pig.
Well, wait
no,
a minute.
You
stop.
Say be the test tube.
Is there more than one way to peel a potato?
I have no idea. PETA says on its website, while these phrases may seem harmless, they carry meaning and can send mixed signals to students about the relationship between humans and animals and can normalize abuse. Yeah, because when you open a can of worms, you're being terribly abusive, aren't you, to the worms? Mm. Teaching students to use animal-friendly language can cultivate positive relationships between all beings. These people are mentally ill. I mean that in all seriousness. They're mentally disturbed. Ms. Hamza added, historically, the resources required to obtain meat meant it was mainly the preserve of the upper classes, while the peasantry subsisted on mostly a vegetarian diet. She's mentally disturbed.
Yeah, that's a lot to ponder.
She's mentally disturbed.
Yeah.
As a result, the consumption of meat was associated with dominant power structures in society. Its absence from the plate indicating disadvantaged groups such as women and the poor.
That's what you think of that, right?
You have another one?
There you Pretty go. Small. Phone book.
Ooh. Ooh.
Nice.
One more? How can you do them when they're that small?
Strong hands. I can't take it anymore. Turn it over to the news, man.
All right, we can do that.
And now a man who's on more than he's off. Joe Sugere.
Here's John Hite.
Thank you, Joe. Sorry, we're discussing things over here.
Yes. Yeah. Discussing your question
off
the air.
Well, you got my answer.
One sports note before we begin the news segment. St. Thomas and St. John's football teams will again play on a bigger stage in 2019. Next season's matchup, a home game for the Tommies. Remember in 2017 they played at Target Field?
I do remember.
They drew a crowd of over 37,000.
Mm-hmm.
This time, apparently, they're going to play in the brand new Allianz Field.
Oh, the soccer stadium.
Soon to be home, Major League Soccer's Minnesota United FC. At field expected to open next spring, the United announcing that the team would hold a press conference to announce a football event at the stadium at 11 in the morning Tuesdays.
What is that seat, Allianz Field?
Was that 20?
Okay. Yeah, just barely 20.
Okay.
Yeah. Barely. 19.
That'd be cool.
Change.
Yeah. That is a massive project when you pull in off of Snelling there.
News notes from today.
Attaboy.
I'm ready. Right
they're building a little
stadium. I was just trying to read something while I was providing comments.
There's a boxer there.
That's a big building there.
It's got lights and everything.
If you're trying to go to Big Top Liquors in its original location, you're going to be going somewhere else.
Okay, Gil.
Gil's back.
That was kind of a Gil voice.
News from today, that 55-year-old Eden Prairie man now has been charged with making terroristic threats and carrying or possessing a pistol without a permit in a public place in connection to that incident at McDonald's last month, which he allegedly displayed a gun during an altercation with a group of teenagers. Court records show that Lloyd Edward Johnson was charged Monday morning in Hennepin County. The first charge is a felony. The second is a gross misdemeanor. He'll be back in court in January. According to the criminal complaint, Eden Prairie police officers were dispatched to the McDonald's on the 500 block of Prairie Center Drive November 19th on a report that a man had pulled a gun on a group of teens but was no longer at the scene. Two 17-year-olds reportedly told officers they were trying to use Apple Pay to buy their food, but the system wasn't working. They then said the male behind them told them to hurry up, saying you were probably trying to pay with EBT.
Oh, my God.
That led to the confrontation. One of the 17-year-olds says the man, later identified as Johnson, began balling up his fist, putting her in fear that he was going to hit her. Complaint then says the two teens said Johnson walked away, returned with his cell phone, appearing to record the argument. They said he then yelled at everyone to back up, pulled a handgun from his waistband, and walked out of the store. Officers obtained short clips of the incident from various cell phones. According to the complaint, today, officers later spoke with Johnson, who did not have a permit to carry a firearm. He admitted he had a handgun in his right jacket pocket and that he felt threatened by the teen, so he pulled it out so he could leave the restaurant. He reportedly said he did not point the gun at anyone, but says he may have waved it around. He also reportedly admitted making the statement about the EBT card and said, quote, "That was an insult. I shouldn't have said that."
What's EBT mean?
That's the food stamp.
Well, card.
Oh.
The complaint also says officers recovered a semi-automatic handgun in between the two front seats of Johnson's car. It was loaded with 10 rounds of ammunition, but he did not have a round in the chamber. Alzheimer's disease will be eligible for treatment with medical marijuana in Minnesota starting next year, becoming the 14th health condition certified by the state since that program began in 2015. The Minnesota Department of Health announced Monday it was adding the degenerative neurological disorder to its cannabis program. That program already includes cancer pain, epileptic seizures, post-traumatic stress disorder, and autism. While research on cannabis and Alzheimer's is limited, some studies have found that marijuana inhibits the form of tau proteins that accelerate dementia and memory loss related to the disease.
I have no horse in this race.
I was going to ask a question.
But I would not be... I'm in no hurry to legalize marijuana. I don't care if it's legalized.
If you see what it's done in Colorado to like the University Avenue, their equivalent, it's ugly. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
They legalized it in Colorado.
I'm aware of that.
And on the University Avenue equivalent in, say, Denver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's riddled with these pop-up dope shops that don't care about what their building looks like.
Yep.
They don't take care of it. It's unsightly.
How do you know this?
Because I've been there.
Okay.
That's where I ordered all my stuff from.
Yeah. And that's where the Girl Scouts would set up their cookie stand.
Which is a great business opportunity. But my question is this. I'm not a dope smoker. Are they worried for medicinal marijuana? Is it because it has some type of thing that helps them heal, or is it because it makes them want to eat, and then people eat the protein?
Who knows?
No, it just makes you feel better. I mean, if
it takes
like
away
the cancer thing, yeah, it'd be. Plus, it's not always a smoked form of marijuana. It's, you know,
it might
come
in
a pill,
or
might come in a. Oh. Yeah, you could bake it. Yeah, there's different.
Well,
ways.
The new governor, Wes Walz, he really
Wes Walz.
Kim
was a hockey player.
Kim Walz. Yeah. He's a big. Proponent of it. Let's get that legal.
I don't know if it's a good idea. I don't know enough about marijuana.
But he's a Democrat, so he's probably looking at another tax stream.
He is.
I'm all in favor of medical marijuana. The other part, I don't have.
Well, do we have evidence that medical marijuana actually works in some cases?
Well, it certainly works. Yes, but it doesn't cure you. That's
not
what it's used for.
I know. Yeah.
But yes.
Anyway, all right, move on.
Hey, Doc, I got glaucoma.
Yeah. Try this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
American Airlines is investigating how a 67-year-old woman in a wheelchair was left alone overnight at Chicago O'Hare International Airport when her flight was canceled.
Boy, if we only knew somebody in that business.
Damn it. I've got a friend that
pushes wheelchairs around.
Right.
How could that happen?
Can you get a job like that?
I think so.
Huh. I'm going to have to ask my friend that works at the airport about pushing wheelchairs.
You know what happened? They didn't follow procedure.
You got to follow procedure. My friend at the airport always follows procedure.
The incident
when he's pushing his random wheelchairs.
You been to Marco?
Yeah, Marco Island. Yep.
Incident started Friday night when Olympia Warsaw's flight from Chicago to Detroit was canceled and a porter was assigned to take care of her. Her son says Warsaw was offered a hotel room, but when nobody would take her, the porter said his shift was over and just left.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. He will not win the Airport Person of the Year award by doing that, will he?
Hey, I'm out. Yes. It's 3 o'clock.
My shift is done. Up.
I got to get to Garage Logic. Whoops.
Joe likes to start on time.
My friend that works at the radio station, lady, needs to start recording at noon. And if you're not there, there's big trouble. So look out. There's a semi coming, too.
Oh, the family grew concerned. Okay. Called security, and the woman who suffers from Parkinson's disease and has trouble communicating was located. In a statement, American spokesman Russ Feinstein said the airline met with the family, refunded Warsaw's ticket, and was taking steps to, quote, ensure this does not happen.
You know, now that we're on a podcast, what's limiting your friend, this friend of yours at the airport from being identified? Who cares at this point?
Well, it's more of like a gentleman's agreement, would
you say? Yeah, I think so. Okay. And then just in case it ever were to come up, I think my friend still wants to remain anonymous.
I see. All right.
But if I were to ever be doing a job like that,
and
I had this lady under my care,
you wouldn't abandon her.
You'd be having a sit-in on the Garage Logic podcast right now. She'd be coming. Hey, we got a visitor. Come on, Helga.
I love the name Olympia.
Olympia is her name.
I love that name.
Hey, speaking of us now being on a podcast, we do have a bit of breaking news during this podcast. And some of you that are listening to this show realize that we taped this a few hours before and may have already seen this circulating on social media. But we have a really cool event that we're partnering with our friends over at Summit Brewing. This is going to be awesome.
Okay.
So Friday, December 21st.
Yeah.
Circle that date.
All right.
It's the Friday before Christmas.
That'll be festive.
What is that day to you, Mr. Mayor?
That's as a royal order of the as a chief poobah of the royal order of the 21sters. That's damn near the first day of spring.
So we're doing a live podcast from noon till 2 at Summit Brewing.
All right.
You can be there with us.
Yep.
However, you need to win that experience. So we've put a couple of places both on the Garage Logic Facebook page, also on the Garage Logic Twitter account, and it's all over the garagelogic.com website. You have to enter for this. Here's what you get. You and a guest, you both have to be over the age of 21, legal drinking age. That's the rules. Dems the rules. Can join us. You're going to get a free pint from Summit Brewing. You're also going to get to sample the brand new Summit 21 yet to be released beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat that they're brewing that.
I'm
going
to need to sample a lot of that.
GL's 21st. The 21sters in GL. You're also going to get a Summit sampler pack. And more, in addition to one of those lucky people, is going to win a $500 gift certificate to RF Moeller Jewelers.
Whoa!
And another lucky person is going to win a $500 Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores gift certificate.
Whoa!
So if you're a normal person
right
like the rest of
Christmas,
us.
You can re-gift
hell
these
yes.
things.
You could use that $500 to buy a snowblower if you're normal. But if you're a weirdo like Joe, you could buy a lawnmower.
Right, because the spring starts that next day.
So, and if Mike Fratt wants to come by, he can only come in if he brings just one more bottle of the nice.
So all of that is all over the social media accounts featuring Garage Logic in addition to the GarageLogic.com website. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, Friday, December 21st from noon till 2. Now, keep in mind, Summit is not open before 2 o'clock. So this is a private event for us and our dedicated Garage Logic listeners.
But you have to sign up, correct?
You do have to sign up, and you have to be selected to be part of this VIP experience.
Okay. Well, let's fill the house, man.
And by the way, when you're there, you get to sample that, what was it called, Joe? The 120
shilling? 120 shilling.
Oh, my Lanta, was that good.
Yeah, at I Summit bought some over the weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd that go for you?
Didn't last long.
Down.
How'd
that go? It went down.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
I thought there was some charitable dynamic to this, too.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. So Summit is partnering with their friends at Sierra Nevada, And all of the proceeds from both this event, afterwards, and all weekend long are going to help the campfire victims in California, because Sierra Nevada is in Chico, California, right outside of where those fires took place.
That's where sourdough took refuge, in
that's
the town right. of Chico.
Well, that's a nice tie-in.
And that's home of Sierra Nevada.
And all, and having done this beer show, all of these brewers, they all work together. It's amazing to see the work that they all do together. So they... Summit said, we got to do something for our buddies down there in California at Sierra Nevada. This is really, really cool.
You'll have more on this as the days go by.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Those two breweries, the Summit EPA and the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, two of the best summer beers ever.
By far.
Oh, yep. God, they're so good.
They're pretty good in winter, too.
Well, that's true.
Right. Yeah, it's just like pizza. Good point. Some are better than the others, you know? Some are better than others.
President Trump called for his former attorney Michael Cohen this morning to serve a full and complete sentence, weighing in on the fate of his one-time loyalist who's arguing he does not deserve prison time for the criminal charges, which he's pleaded guilty to. Trump said in morning tweets, you mean he can do all of the, capital letters, terrible, unrelated to Trump things having to do with fraud, big loans, taxes, etc., and not serve a long prison term. He makes up stories to get a capital letters great, and already reduced deal for himself. He lied for this outcome and should, in my opinion, serve a full and complete sentence. An attorney for Cohen declined to comment Monday on the president's tweets. Other folks are saying perhaps this is an obstruction of justice case, just asking to be filed. A New Mexico resident just didn't have to prove his love before getting married. He had to prove New Mexico is really a state. When Gavin Clarkson and his future bride applied for a marriage license in Washington, D.C. earlier this month, he was told he needed to provide an international passport to be approved. Clarkson said, you know, you're from flyover country. When you're applying for a marriage license, give them your New Mexico driver's license, and they come back and say, my supervisor says we cannot accept international driver's licenses. Do you have a New Mexico passport?
This is the government that we're going to count on to change the climate? And this moron didn't know that New Mexico is part of the United States?
Well, the newest part. The newest part.
Clarkson's a former deputy assistant secretary in the Interior Department. He told the Las Cruces Sun News the clerk then checked with the supervisor several times before the office was able to confirm that New Mexico, yes, has been a state for 106 years.
That's right.
Clarkson said the whole thing took about 20 minutes, and the clerk apologized at the end. But he said he and his now wife have laughed about the incident, as did other couples who were in line behind them. The new Ms. Clarkson thinks the most hilarious part was when the clerk complimented me on my English.
Can I hear George H.W. Bush one more time?
I want to pay my respects to Joe Suchere, who, in his own way, the mayor of Garage Logic, makes an awful lot of sense out there.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question. Since you played the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had the great photo of Sully the service dog lying outside of his casket.
Yeah.
What's now to become of Sully?
I don't know. Do you think it was named Sully for the pilot?
I hope so.
You would think so, huh? Yeah.
Don't you think? I bet. I bet that would be a good tie-in.
So we don't know? Sully's just...
I don't know what will become of Sully.
Oh. Moves on possibly to another person?
Yeah. Okay. How'd you like the way H.W. didn't want to die when Barbara did? He said, one more summer at Kennebunkport.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he did. He had it.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen up, folks. Thanks for tuning in to Garage Logic. Go online to garagelogic.com, our website, to find some of the Greg Holcomb wonderful cartoons. He's really captured Garage Logic. And to find out what's the latest on Joe's bookshelf in Author's Corner, click on the features and check out Summit. Summit, all social media, Summit, December 21st. You got to sign up prior to. You are one click away from more Garage Logic. Thanks for listening in.